He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Yet he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, he sees every tear that I cry. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Every move that I make, he sees every tear that I cry. And he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Oh, but he knows my name. Every step that I take, every tear that I cry, oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by all the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name. Well, I don't know what tomorrow might bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have the answers to all the questions of this life. Oh, but I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, yes, he knows my name. But I'm overwhelmed by the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, he sees every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by all the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow might bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have the answers to all the questions of this life. Oh, but I know in whom I have believed, and that he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, he sees every tear that I cry. Oh, he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and I can't see the light of day. But I know I'll be cry. So glad he knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by all the pain. And I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, for he knows my name.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's more than just a story. That's reality. Amen. Amen. If it was just a fairy tale, you have no hope in that. But it's the truth tonight. He knows you. He loves you. Amen. And he wants to help you. Glory to God. Amen. Whatsoever we have need of, he is able to provide. Amen. Thank you, Sister Erica. Amen. We're so glad that she's been able to be here for these past few services, and we'll be here for a few more. And we're just so glad to have her and Savannah, and Ashlyn is here. She's in Ohio, so that counts. Amen. So we're just so glad to have them here with us. Amen. I want to turn the service over tonight to Brother Aaron. We appreciate him. We're going to ask him to come and preach the word to us tonight. Go ahead and come. Amen. As he's coming, I want to remind all of the youth members, Friday evening is youth night, and we would like to get with all of you after church in the middle room for just a quick meeting of what we need you to bring. So that'll be at 6 o'clock Friday night. All right. Amen. Brother Aaron, bless you.
Well, it's an honor to be here tonight. I appreciate the pastor's confidence in asking us to minister tonight. And I was struck by, from the beginning of the service, Brother Brian, when you opened with a burden for prayer, and then Sister Erica, the song that you felt led to sing tonight, I feel that it confirms what I want to share this evening. Turn to the book of Luke. I told Brother Tim, I said, I feel the least among us here tonight, and I told him if it gets bad, we'll just put a best of program on, and you can all listen to the pastor preach tonight. But Luke, the 15th chapter, we can turn there. Quite a few times recently, I've riding home from Sunday morning service, I listen to a certain station, and I hear a certain minister preach, and it seemed like so often he chooses this passage, and I mentioned to my wife, I said, that's about the only thing I ever hear him preach from. And quite some time back, Brother Brian, you was actually sharing something in a service, and it struck me, and the Lord started dealing with me. The 11th verse, one of the most probably familiar parables that our Savior spoke. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And we could stop there, but I like this next part, Ryan. It says, But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I want to go back to verse 16 for just a moment. And he would have fain filled his belly. and no man gave unto him. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we ask for your anointing tonight. We ask for your touch in this service. Father, without you and your presence here, we have wasted our efforts, Father, but don't let any one of us leave here as we came, but touch, Father. In your name we ask it. Amen. Brother Brian, back in October, you were up here, I believe, leading the pastor appreciation service. And you mentioned something that stuck with me. It's kind of one of those things that it kind of registered in my mind then, and then it kind of lay dormant for some time. And the other evening when the pastor asked if we would minister tonight, the Lord brought those thoughts back to my mind. And you made mention that in a place such as this, there's a reason that there's a crowd. You talked about when there's a healer, when there is someone that's here, Sister Debbie, to meet our needs, when there's someone here to touch our bodies when we're sick, when there's someone here to comfort us in our time of need, that's the reason that there's a crowd. And as you spoke that morning, a troubling thought entered my mind, Brother Brian, and I wondered, why isn't there more? Why isn't there more? Why in all this land we see churches? Yeah, there's some that are full and overflowing, but why do we see so many churches, Brother David, that are empty? Why do we see so many that have so many pews? And we look here this evening, and I know on Sundays we seem to have a greater crowd, but why is there so often a lack of concern for the house of God? And as I prayed about that, and I questioned that, it seemed that I was directed to this passage and this thought. You know, we have a problem. And youth, I want you to listen to this tonight. We don't, in our society, we don't want to recognize that we have a need. We live in a feel-good society. We live in a society that praises how we feel today. It's kind of what matters to us the most is just getting through a day. And I was thinking, you know, now I'm not anti-sports. I like to play sports some. It's been a long time. Ryan's back there laughing. He gets to hear me preach all the time, just on different subjects. I'm not anti-sports, but I was struck by something I read. You all have heard of Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen must have been better on the court than in his business. He lost $120 million due to bad financial decisions. A man named Evander Holyfield, $250 million. Down the drain. Bad decisions. Lenny the Nails, I don't know if you know who he is, played for the New York Mets. This is kind of interesting. Not only did he lose everything he made, but he's $30 million in the hole. But you can hire him for $900 a year, and he will be your financial advisor. Another man, John Daly or Daly. Thank you. You can want to read these for $50 to $60 million in career earnings, but he blew $1.65 million in 5 hours at slot machines, and another day, if you think that's good, $1.2 million in 2 hours and 30 minutes in a casino. By the way, he just lost his $1.6 million house after he blew all that. Mike Tyson. Anybody remember him? Between $350 and $400 million he's lost due to, maybe a $2 million bathtub. Could be one of the problems. You look up short-sighted, and there's a man here that turned down $21 million because he said it was not quite enough to feed his family on. 80% of our football players will be bankrupt within 2 years of retirement. 60% of our basketball players, they must get paid a little more. It takes them 5 years to go bankrupt. And you might ask, what are we looking at? Brother Brian, we see a people that, although it looks like to a lot of people that they're on top of the world, they've got everything going for them. Brother Dale, they've got everything that so many people seek after, but there's a need. and they're looking to fill that need. There is a desperate need in their life. Young people, we look. You are taught from a young age to idolize these people. You're taught to look at them by the world and say, this is success, this is where you want to be. I hear fathers, I'll be walking down here and there, and they'll look and say, my son's, he's doing really well in basketball. Someday he'll be able to buy me a home. He'll be able to take care of me. Someday my children will be able to take care of my needs because of these things they're doing. And I thought, I look at these people and they have such desperate needs. And they're seeking to fulfill them in so many different areas. And we live, Brother Keith, in that feel good. We don't want to admit the depth of our need. We don't want to admit the depth of our need. And I see that in our churches. And I wonder, is that why, Brother Brian, we don't see our churches overflowing? Because these people don't want to admit the desperation that they're living in. They don't want to admit, Ryan, how bad they need something. We're a people who were taught, Brother Lynn, that we are in control. We don't need anybody else. We don't need anything else. We don't need to go to someone. I shouldn't have to call for support from this person or that person, but I can fix it myself. I can handle it myself. And what the pastor said the other night when we was praying, he talked about the backsliders. Brother Brian, it got to me as I started to think about it. He said, you know, think of a backslider that you know of and pray for them. And I started thinking of all the ones that I grew up with, all the different ones that I grew up with that were my age, Sister Debbie. And where are they tonight? All the ones that you know, I was joking with somebody the other day. Brian was being so evasive about a young married thing, and I said, you guys are just afraid that some of us are going to show up. I said, you know, I don't consider myself real old yet, but I'm not in the young marriage anymore. I've got too many kids to qualify for that now. So I don't fit in. But when I think of that, it saddens me because I realize that they're not here, then they're somewhere else. If they're not here in the house of God tonight, then they're somewhere else seeking their success. They're looking after fulfillment, and they're looking in other places than the house of God. And I thought, you know, the youth group, young people, so many your age right now are looking around and you're saying, who am I? Who am I, Brother Brian? You know, I don't know that I agree with that. Some people say we're trying to find our identity. But I was reminded that Moses one time said that, but in a different manner. He wasn't looking for identity, but he was saying, God, who am I that I can do this? You know, I'm so low, I'm so small, I'm not qualified for this. Who am I that I can do this? And I thought, you know, I know who we are. We're his children. Yes. Brother Brian, we're his children. Amen. We're not just somebody out there. We're not just anybody, but we are his children. Brother Brian, you already said it tonight. Well, you said, what a beautiful day to be thankful for that. I think I can be thankful tomorrow when I get up and it's raining because I'm still his child. I think when things are going bad and situations are looking down, I can be thankful because no matter what else is going on, I'm still his child. That's you know, I may not know exactly, as a young person, I didn't know exactly what was in my future, but I knew that I was his child. I knew. Another question that some people have is, what am I doing? What can I do for him? Young people, and in all of these situations, the pastor talked about it the other night, to compel. Yes. To compel others. That should be a goal that we have this year in our youth group, in the church as a whole, is to compel others to come. To compel others. You know, I had an opportunity, and that opportunity is going to be extended again probably Friday. But one of our inspectors pulled up on the job, and he was already there, and he said, go ahead and take care of it. It looks fine. And he pulled away, and he made a circle, and he came back, and he wanted to talk about things of God. He had some questions. He wanted to talk about things, and it opened a door. And you know what? I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. And I was pretty excited. I talked to my wife that evening about it, and he's going to come back Friday, and I'm hoping for some more opportunity. And I'd like to see him come. I'd like to see him come. And sir, you know, he's praying. I don't know if he's saved or not. He's trying to pray. He's trying to do some things there. But his heart is searching. He's hungry. And that's something that we can do, is to compel others to him. And, you know, I was thinking, as young people, so often you're told that you're the church of tomorrow. I don't believe that. They're the church. They're here today. They may be the leadership of tomorrow, but you know, the Bible says not to let any man despise your youth. I was thinking back today as I was praying and studying. Quite a few years ago, my wife and I and her sister were on a squad run. I think we're in our 16th year, so it was a long time ago. We were called to a house, and we went in, and you may not feel like kids, but when you're 20 years old and you go into a house of someone that's 70 and their husband's laying on the floor unconscious and they feel like he's just about to die, she looked up and she saw three kids walk in her house, and it scared her to death. And I could see it on her face, and we did what we do best. We got him up, and we got him headed to the hospital, and I put her in the passenger seat beside me, and we got to the Miami Valley, and I opened the door of the back of the ambulance, and she was standing beside me, and her husband was sitting up looking at her, and he spoke to her. And her eyes just got really big, and she looked at me, and I smiled, and I said, "You didn't think we could do it, did you? You were scared to death because you saw three young kids come in, and your husband's dying, and you knew all hope was lost. There was nobody here. You needed somebody that knew something, and you could look at us and tell we was just kids." And I thought, don't let anybody despise your youth. You may feel inadequate. There may be some, let's be honest, there may be some around that look at you and they may think you're inadequate, but you're still his. You're still God's child. You're still one of his children. And another question we ask is, where are we going? Well, I hope we're all going to heaven. Number one. But Brother Brian, in all of these things, the key to this is ask him. Who are you? Ask him. Where are you going? Ask him. What are you to do? What can you do for him? Ask him. You know, there's a lot of us, we had plans in our life. We had things that we wanted to accomplish, we want to do, and we set goals for our life. But the key is go back and to be in his will. Philip, if I'm in his will, I can be happy. It doesn't matter where else I'm headed. If I know that I'm in his hand, Michael, if I've got my hand in his hand, I can be happy. It doesn't matter what else I go through, what trials I may face, and it's going to take prayer. Brother Hurst spoke Sunday about holding on to our faith, and I was thinking of that. When he spoke that, I thought, you know, we also need to hold on to our prayer. I believe Dad was telling me when he was at the shop, they kind of had a rule, maybe it was somewhere else I heard this, but if you don't use something for about 6 months, then put it away. Set it up on the shelf somewhere. And if you can go another year without it, then throw it away. You don't need it. That may be a good tip for house cleaning, but I'm afraid too many people in church are trying it with prayer. Brother Cecil, too many people are taking their prayer life and they're seeing how long they can get by without it. In fact, I told the gentleman the other day on the job, I said, so many of us are trying to see just how close to the world we can live and still squeak into heaven. How much can I get away with? And I wonder how many people are trying to see how little prayer can I get away with? You know, can I get by with just a little bit? Is Sunday morning enough? Do I need to pray Sunday night and Wednesday as well, Brad? Or do I need to have a daily prayer life? Do I need to have a time set aside every day where I seek him? You know, it's been 11 years since I left here. And most of you, I know. And most of you knew me. But can you really say today that you know me? We say that we know, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Do we really? I mean, we know the name of the person who holds the future, Brother Brad, but do I really know him? You've got to communicate with someone, Ryan, to know him. You've got to talk to him on a regular basis to get to know him. You can say you know me because you know my name, but how long has it been since we sat down and had a conversation? Do you really know what's going on in my life? Do you really know what's happening, what's transpired? Do you really know the situations that I'm facing? Do I know the situations you're facing? Have we talked? We want to say we know God, but have we talked to him, Brother Keith? Do we communicate regularly with him? Do we talk to him regularly? I was reading something, and you know, I'm going to close here soon. Brother Brian, I appreciated your burden, and I want us to take a few moments to pray tonight. But as I was reading this, are we ready to pray as a church? Young people, are you ready to pray? Are we really ready to pray? Are you willing to take a serious, honest look at the desperate situations in your life? Are you willing to be honest about what brought you to this place in your life? Are we really willing to be honest? Church, when we pray, we better be ready. It's like, you know, when we ask God for an answer, be careful because he might give it to you. Are you willing to let the Holy Ghost go through every area in your life and point out the things that are a hindrance to your relationship with God? Are we really ready to pray? Are you willing to allow the Holy Ghost to determine the changes that need to be made and how those changes need to come about? Are you willing to face the fire that will refine the gold in your life and burn away the impurities? Are we really ready for prayer? Are you willing to see things as God sees them and not as I see them or you see them? Are you willing to submit to God's will in every area of your life? Are you willing to trust God with those things that you think are the most important to you? Are you willing to let God set the priorities in your life? Are we willing to allow God to change our way of thinking in areas that we think we're right in? Brother Brian, there's things I'm confident I'm right about. But am I willing to, when I get down in prayer, let God work on my mind and change it? Are you willing to see others as God sees them? And not only that, are we willing to treat others as God treats them? Are we willing to love others unconditionally? That's the way he loves me. That's the way he loves you. Are we really and truly ready to pray? Are we as a church ready to see? You know, when we came back from our Christmas trip, I told Brother Hurst when we got back the first of the year, I sensed a difference in our services. I don't know if it was just me. Maybe I just finally got prayed through. I don't know if what it was, but Sister Davey, I sensed the differences in our services. I sensed a desire of the people to find something, to seek something, to get a hold of God. And we need to keep that fire burning. We need to keep that desire. You know, we can get stale and stagnant. We can feel that urge and that unction, and then we can kind of just draw back in and get comfortable and get lazy, and pretty soon that'll go away and it'll fade away, and we won't feel so bad anymore. Or are we gonna buckle down, and are we gonna determine that we're going to seek him? You know, prayer is just like anything else. It's work. It takes practice. It takes time to work. You know, it's not easy. There's times when you get down to pray, and Ryan, your eyes start struggling a little bit, don't they? There's times when we get down to pray, and Brian, instead of the things that we need to talk to God about, everything else comes rushing in. Every other concern that we've had, for me, it's generally, I just remembered something I forgot to do, a job I forgot to go bid. There's always something that rushes in to take that place. And it's work. It takes concentration to learn how to kind of channel our thoughts in the right direction. Say, God, I'm going to put this aside. I'm going to set that aside, and I'm going to talk to you. And not only that, but You know, I did this for a while one time, and this may go kind of against what I was talking about here at the beginning, but I took a period in my life, a time when I dedicated some time to prayer without asking him for anything. Try it. It's hard. First time you try it, it's hard. Because it's just default. We get down, God, I need this, I need that, I want this, I want that. I've got this problem, I've got that problem. And try getting down and praying for a while and never mentioning a need that you have. Never mentioning something that you need, that you, a desire, a problem in your life. But just focus on him. It's difficult. But it's worth it. It may be difficult, but some of those things, it's just worth the time. It's worth it. And you know what? Each time you do it, it gets a little easier. And you learn how to focus on him a little more. But we need, as especially young people, while you're young, develop a time. Develop a habit. It's so hard to, especially, Brian, when those cares of life get kind of wrapped around you. It's hard to find that time unless you've set aside and you've kind of got a pattern in your life where you know when you're... We need to develop a prayer life. We need, as young people, to develop a time where we set aside all the other things. And young people have problems too. Young people have burdens and heartaches and concerns. You know, as we get older, we think, you know, those days looked easier. But Sister Judy, when we were there, they weren't easy. And, you know, we tend to forget that. But there's difficulties you're facing. And there's difficulties some of you are facing that probably some of us has never seen. But remember, you've got a God that loves you. You may be facing heartaches and troubles that you don't know how you're going to make it through. Some of you may lay your head on your pillows at night and cry a little bit. But you've got a God that loves you. And when you feel that you're the deepest in need, ask him. Just go to him. If you'd come to the music tonight. Church, we need to get a hold of this burden. Brian, you mentioned those that have come and prayed at our altars. Those that have come to seek God, and they're not here. I thank God that they came. But church, we need to get a burden to seek God, that there's an atmosphere here. When those lost come in, there's an atmosphere of prayer here. There's, you know, as Erica was singing that song earlier, I thought, you know, now would be a really good time. He knows your name already. He already knows he knows the troubles you're facing. He knows the problems you're facing. If you're facing something overwhelming, you don't have to wait any longer. But you can come to these altars. If there's a burden, you know, you may be unsaved. You may not know anything about salvation. But he knows you. Brother Brian, we don't have to know a whole lot. We just have to know that he knows us. And then we can get to know him. Come and pray tonight.